Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Rob are mining for sleepers and deep sleepers. What's the best draft strategy to employ in the late rounds? And plenty of thoughts on snoozers that can make all the difference.
Pay that man his money.
Lining pockets and paying bills for decades.
No sleep till fantasy hockey season. Jensen and Reese here with you talking fantasy sleepers on Wednesday, August 21st. Robbie, how you doing, man?
I'm feeling good today, Pete. Got a nice 8 hours of shut-eye last night. Ready to talk some sleepers today.
This is a fun segment that we're going to have today because sleepers are the name of the game. You know the elite options by now. We've been regurgitating it all summer. But you hit the nail on the head with one of those late-round picks, a guy that ends up finishing in the top 50 overall. That's how you win your league, I think.
This is what moves the needle in fantasy hockey, and it's probably my second favorite topic to discuss outside of rookies. I think sleepers in general, you look at Ottawa with Colin White re-signing. He's a top-line center that really no one's talking about for fantasy hockey. But that's a player or an example of the type of player that really could set you aside and get you in the playoff push for your fantasy hockey teams.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that rookies can be sleepers as well. You know the top guys by now, but we're excited to get to all of this stuff. Sleeper Talk with Chris Wassel. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisWasselDFS, host of Fantasy Hockey X. And Chris, great to have you on. How's your summer going, man?
Summer is going good, guys. It's a nice, balmy 90 degrees here in New Jersey, and I couldn't ask for anything better.
Very nice, very nice. So right out of the shooter here, let's talk some sleepers, Chris. Give me your top two or three sleeper targets this year in fantasy hockey.
Okay, very simply, and this is where it gets fun. As everybody knows, there is the RFA mother of log jams, unfortunately, which has hurt some prospects and projections. But you know, we can make some ifs, ands, and ors here. One of my big ones is not as much of a sleeper as people would think, but I do think he's going to get more starts than most expect. And that would be none other than Mackenzie Blackwood of the New Jersey Devils. Mm-hmm. This is a big one for this reason. Blackwood showed last year, despite what resembled best an AHL-level defense, that he could play at an NHL level and finally figured out that age-old conundrum of why doesn't my groin move the way it should? Once they got his mobility going, Blackwood was magically, wow, look at that. He actually was the prospect projected at the round he was supposed to be drafted at. It's not hard, you know, just one of these things that you have to figure out. A couple of the other guys that I was kind of looking at in particular, and I'm interested only because of this reason. I want to see what Owen Tippett does in Florida. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm fascinated. I keep liking what I see his progression in juniors. The numbers keep going up, but more importantly, he's shown an ability to actually play a little bit of defense, which kind of a slight knock on him when he was in his draft year. So he has improved. I don't know what line they're going to put. Again, the biggest problem with being 6 weeks out is there's so much we don't know, and we can only go on so much. The third one for me, at least right now, and this could again change, guys. Evan Rodriguez was a pretty good fill-in last year for Buffalo. And he plugged a lot of roles for them. He was able to get close to 30 points. I think he was misused even last year by the coaching staff, which is not there anymore, thankfully, in that capacity. So there is some definite optimism in Buffalo that while he's not going to be a 50 or 60 point guy, this is a player that has shown the ability to play top 6 minutes from time to time and can do it again if need be. And the best part is he's not going to kill you, say, if you're in a salary cap league where you're starving for forwards. Somebody gets you 40 to 45 points, and you have a cap hit of under $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. That's a big-time amount of efficiency that you're going to need this year with the way salary cap leagues are structured. And, again, unfortunately, when these RFA contracts do kick in, there's going to be a lot of owners scrambling for cap space.
I think I'm more interested in Marcus Johansson, who's on our deep sleeper list.
Speaking of
Buffalo Sabres, I just think he has a higher ceiling than Evan Rodriguez. But back to the Devils, I mean, something that jumps out at me, you mentioned two rookies, including Blackwood. He's still rookie eligible. We have Corey Schneider on one of our sleeper lists. He's, you know, much, much older, on the decline recent years. Do you think that that goalie situation is leaning one way or the other right now?
Honestly, I can almost see this going one of two ways. It's either going to be 2014-2015 all over again, mm-hmm. with maybe a few more wins, or Blackwood does eventually take over. I'm leaning more towards the former than the latter, and it seems like a lot of people so far are agreeing where this is going to almost be a dead split, barring injury. You have Blackwood, who's never played above a certain amount of games, even in the AHL, mm-hmm. and you have Corey, who, let's face it, is probably only a 45 to 50 start guy anyway at this
right.
stage. He's a year and, let's see if my math is right, year and about 3 months removed from the hip surgery that Roberto Luongo had. Talking to Luongo a couple years ago, I remember him saying it took him about 15 to 18 months mm-hmm. to get full range on that side of the body. Never mind just the hip, but just that side of the body in general.
Mm-hmm.
To balance it with the right and the left. That leads me to believe you're going to have a split.
Pekka Rinne also had that same surgery, and he said it took him almost 2 years to feel normal.
Yeah,
that's why I would lean towards Corey Schneider this year, Chris.
There's a lot riding in Schneider's favor. I don't think we can write him off just yet. I think
No, you can't write him off. And as a matter of fact, all right, let's put it this way. Every projection I have seen so far, except for one, has him playing in at least 40 games.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Every one of them. There's only one that I've seen, and that one I tend to stay away from a little bit. But pretty much in the range of about 42 to 52 games.
What about a defenseman, Chris, that you like this year?
I can't say PK Subban, can I?
No, you cannot. No more New Jersey Devils.
Move away from the Devils.
I knew that was coming. So as always, I have an extreme backup plan. It's going to hurt me to say, it really is, but it's probably going to be Jacob Trouba.
Wow, interesting.
At this point,
interesting. Why do you like Trouba?
I know the weight of the world is on him. If there's any guy that can reasonably handle it, it is probably him. This isn't like Kenny Rogers coming to New York and pitching for the Mets, guys.
I hope not.
No. I mean, look, let's be honest. Is he going to be projected for a high amount of points? No. Is he going to fill a lot of categories? Yes. That's the important thing. I'm looking at this from a strict roto standpoint. How many categories can this guy fill? And he can fill a lot more in New York than he could at times in Winnipeg.
Yeah, he'll get you hits, he'll get you power play points, and he'll probably get you 50-plus points on the power play one with Panarin and Zibanejad. How about a little deeper on defense? I was asked an interesting question yesterday. Who's going to be the Gustavsson? Who's going to be the Thomas Chabot? I really like Philip Hronek for a team in Detroit that's really being overlooked, but do you have a guy that has a ceiling that high for the listeners?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Hronek's been my guy for a while. I've been trying to nab him 3 to 4 rounds early in leagues in a lot of the mock drafts for the simple reason is, look, the experts, you know, get in on this, and they get, look, we all get happy. We get happy feet at least a little bit when we see a player that's available. And unfortunately, I've done it at least in two drafts myself. So don't feel bad if you see guys going early and you get a little bit worried. All right, here's one to look at. And look, he's not exactly – he is a household name in a sense, but I got to think this is finally the year we see full Darnell Nurse on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, this has been the elephant in the room for about, I would say, 3 seasons in Edmonton. Klefbom has a wonderful shot. There is no disputing that Klefbom has one of the best shots I've seen from a defenseman, at least in practice. The problem is Klefbom cannot stay healthy. He cannot exactly play defense on the power play either at times. And it causes a lot of problems when it comes to point production and such from Edmonton's power play. The scary part is Edmonton's power play could be so much better than it is with just a few moves. And the thought process is that by putting Nurse there, That's one. The other guy that also from Edmonton, I'm listed to see, interested and intrigued to see what they do at Bouchard, mm-hmm. as far as a power play two role. It's possible. By most accounts, he's their number one ranked prospect, at least in some circles. And it would make a lot of sense if he made the jump this year. Something that I did notice, guys, with Roenick, and this is where it's going to be fun. I've seen one or two projections, and look, you can't get too excited about, you know, the early numbers you see. Mm-hmm. A lot of magazine projections, people will often not realize unless you've worked in the industry long enough, they're coming out in June, early July. So there's still a lot of roster turnover to look at, but I've seen a 50-point projection out there for Roenick already.
I mean, if he's on the first power play with Larkin and Mantha, he could hit 50 very easily. I think we have him projected for 45. But back to, you were talking about the Oilers, and with Dave Tippett as the coach, and of course, there are three rookie-eligible defensemen if you're talking rookie sleepers, Ethan Bear, Bouchard, and Caleb Jones. Who do you like the most?
I like them all for different reasons. It's almost like a problem of good abundance, if you will. Edmonton seems the highest on Bouchard right now. But again, that could change. The one guy I like that not a lot of people are going to talk about, but is Samarukov, the Russian. As I like to say, the former, quote-unquote, of Russian descent, who's now playing for Guelph, but we'll get into him next year. The thing with Caleb Jones is he arguably could have more upside than Bouchard down the road, but it is clear that Edmonton really wants to get Bouchard into the opening night lineup.
I don't think any of those guys are moving the needle in my leagues, Chris.
They're not going to move the needle big, but if you're in a 16 or 20 team deep league, it wobbles the needle. A very
small vibration. What about? I'm going to ping pong a couple guys here. Who would you rather have, Jacob Markstrom or Darcy Kemper?
To be honest, it's scary. I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually would trust Markstrom a little bit more this year. I just know that Markstrom is certainly going to start at least 50 games,
right.
And I don't know that with Kemper because look, I mean, Antti Raanta could have a snake infestation this year or. His car gets, you know, a ton of cement drops on his car. the poor guy has had some bizarre incidents in Arizona over the last couple of seasons, including injuries on and off the ice, unfortunately. And you don't know how much he's going to play and how much he's going to eat into Kemper's ice time.
So a lot of off-season movement this summer. Three guys come to mind that are on our sleeper list right now. Nazem Kadri with the Avs. JT Miller with the Canucks, same team as Markstrom, and Alex Galchenyuk going to Pittsburgh where he could play with Malkin or Crosby. Who do you like the most out of Kadri, Miller, or Galchenyuk?
Just for the depth alone, I do like Kadri more. Just for his ability to play anywhere in the top or middle six. He's going to have a ton of versatility in that Colorado lineup, and there's a lot of good forwards that he can – honestly enjoy instant chemistry with. One is another sort of, I wouldn't say deep sleeper, but JT Compher comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's been projected on a few lines with Kadri.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as of this moment, and it depends on who you look at as far as where the projections go. And I'm interested to see where Tyson Jost ends up, for one. Is he going to be in the first line, the second line? Are they going to have problems signing Raanta? I don't think they're going to, but again, it's early on here.
Mm-hmm.
Where Burakovsky winds up slotting, because they do want to move some guys around. I know they were toying with the idea of Jonas Donskoy playing on the right wing, mm-hmm. for example. So these are the things that you want to note right now. As of this moment, Kadri is on penciled in. Keyword penciling in, guys, on the second line with Burakovsky and Donskoy right now.
I could see Burakovsky having 20 goals this year and a nice kind of bounce back story for him. Give us some general advice, though, Chris. Where should I start to draft sleepers in my standard 12 team league?
Standard 12, I'm usually going a little later if it's a 23 man roster. I'm not really going anywhere near till about the 14th or 15th round at the very earliest, and that's stretching it, to be honest. But it depends on the competitive level of your league. If you're in a league that you know is high stakes competition and you're seeing some guys go where they should not, you're going to have to reach a couple rounds early for some of these forwards, because inevitably somebody's going to start the puck knuckling, and once the puck starts knuckling, it's going to keep going. It's always that way with goalies and et cetera when you get down into these leagues.
One of the most polarizing sleeper picks this year is Nikita Gusev. We circle back to the Devils here. What is your projection for him in points, and where would you take him in a standard league?
I've been going back and forth with this one, as with Jack Hughes, just simply because, well, he could play on the second line. He could play on the third line. Remember how New Jersey is going to use a guy like Travis Zajac, and remember this well if you're a fantasy hockey fan. See where Zajac is used. And this actually is going to have somewhat of an effect on how a Gusev is going in. Right now, Gusev is penciled in on the second line left wing currently, but he's only on the second unit power play right now. That could change. It's not something set in stone. But I fully expect Gusev to have at least a 50-point season in New Jersey. If he's not playing with, say, a Hischier at some point, in Hall even, I would not be surprised.
I have three goalie deep sleepers on my article. I have Saros, Koskinen, and Georgiev. Does any one of those guys stand out to you as a must-draft goalie in late rounds?
I have to have Saros. I absolutely have to have him as insurance for Pekka Rinne. Look, Rinne can still perform at an elite level. There's no question about that. But you're looking age-wise at a goalie who's approaching 37, has a good bit of mileage on him, and already numbers are being hedged in leagues where Saros could see as many as 40 games played.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying Saros is going to play 40 games. Let's pump the brakes a little bit here. But 30 is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very possible. And that's enough to get my attention. And then obviously Georgiev would be second on my list, only because this is probably his last year to prove to people that he can be either a 1B in this league or maybe even a 1A somewhere else.
I think Rinne is just, the year is eventually going to come where he either deals with an injury or his performance declines, and you're going to want to be on the Saros train if and when that happens. Same division, though. My last question, Chris. The Dallas Stars are a team that I think is going to win the Central Division. They added Joe Pavelski. What does this mean for Roope Hintz, and is he one of the best sleeper options out there? I think he is.
He's one of the fastest options, that's for sure. I watched him skate in a practice when they were up here in New Jersey, and the first thing I thought is, my God, this guy is just ridiculously blinding fast and downright scary. It does put them as the favorites to win the division. Hintz is going to get some top 6 minutes with Pavelski right now. They want to pair him with Pavelski. Hintz's ability to see the ice and speed is a tailor-made fit for a guy like Pavelski, who loves to be near the net, has one of the best tip-in rates over the last 25 years in the NHL. And we're going back to some, top-tier guys. I mean, we're going all the way back to Gretzky in his days of rotating around the net and his ability to deflect pucks in. Corey Perry level of, Perry's heyday when he used to be extremely good at deflecting pucks in. But I would say out of Pavelski's 30 power play goals the last 3 years, guys, probably about 26 of them have been tipping. It's not even an exaggeration. It's just it's frightening how good this guy is on the man advantage. And for a Dallas power play that already is top five caliber in the league, you put Hintze even up there for some occasional power play time, like Dallas did last year, and sky's the limit for a forward like him.
Well, quality information as always, Chris. Thank you for helping us sift through some of these diamonds in the rough.
Thank you guys very much, and enjoy the rest of your summer, because before we know it, we're going to be knee deep in drafts and trying to figure out what went right or wrong.
I can't name one person that's better than Chris Wassel at sleepers? I mean, he is like a miner, and we're sifting through gold here. I feel like we've got a couple gold nuggets now. I've got them all written down for my sheet, Pete. How about it?
He has his idea made up, and he sticks by his word, which you can respect in this industry very much. But yeah, Colorado Avalanche, I was talking about how much I love the Stars. The Avalanche are just as much of a threat to win the Central Division, and I think there are a lot of deep sleepers on this roster, even deeper than Kadri, right? You mentioned Burakovsky. Mm-hmm. I also like Sam Girard a lot.
Well, Colorado is my pick to win the Central Division this year. I think they've got all the tools at all the positions to get it done. And more often than not, teams that win the divisions usually have 8 to 9 fantasy-relevant hockey players. So I'll start on that list with Sam Girard. This is a player that, if Cale Makar doesn't capture the top power play spot, or if Cale Makar falters a little bit out of the gate early on, Sam Girard is going to be the guy quarterbacking the power play. Sam Girard is going to be the guy carrying that team 20, 22, 24 minutes per night on defense.
Sam Girard, remember, got those first few games of his career when Subban was out with the Predators. He was running the point on their power play unit. He looked money, then he got traded to Colorado, where he's been ever since, behind Tyson Barrie, who's now out of the picture. So it's something to look at. It's kind of like the Rangers situation, where you think it's going to be Trouba, we think it's going to be Makar, but it could be Adam Fox and it could be Sam Girard.
And for some of the deeper forwards that we talked about, Tyson Jost, JT Compher, those are guys I just want to caution. I wouldn't be drafting those guys, but if the lines shake out in camp or in preseason that you see Compher on that second line, okay, sure, maybe he's on my queue list for waiver wire week one if he has the proper line of placement and he's playing the proper amount of minutes per game.
Now, for sleepers, do you look more at category coverage like it seemed like Chris was looking at? Like, he liked Kadri more than he liked JT Miller or than he liked Alex Galchenyuk. For me, sleepers are about the ceiling. Like, if Alex Galchenyuk puts it all together in his contract year, plays with Evgeny Malkin, that's the upside that I'm looking for, and plays on the first power play with all those studs. I look more at the ceiling than the category coverage, but it's an interesting debate.
I'm on the boomer bust side of that fence. Like guys that can just knock a grand slam, bags loaded, bottom of the ninth, not a big deal, walk off, don't even round the bags. But for this debate, I would go Kadri on this one, just because Kadri is the jack of all trades. He is the quintessential fantasy hockey star. He hits, he shoots, he scores. So I think if you're going to get that 32-plus goal season from Kadri on the second line there, and first power play, what a bonus there, I think you have to go Kadri just on that little security edge.
There's something to be said about what Kadri is going to bring physically to the Avalanche and their secondary scoring as well, with 30-goal potential. This is a guy that's gotten suspended the past two postseasons because of his physical play. But if he has has the durability, has the discipline, he is a guy that's going to make an enormous impact across categories.
One guy that we didn't get to touch too much on in the show, I'll throw two names out at you, Pete. Jacob Silverberg for the Anaheim Ducks, right wing, good position for fantasy. And then Kevin LeBanc, left wing, right wing for the San Jose Sharks. I feel like those two guys I would definitely scoop up rounds 12 to expire.
I like LeBanc more than Silverberg. Silverberg will be valuable if he plays maybe on that line with Raquel and Steele like it was at the end of last year, or if he plays on the first power play. But to me, Kevin LeBanc is a lock for the top six. He's already been on the first power play last year. I mean, with all those big names on San Jose, it's hard to be a lock on the power play, but he most certainly is.
And I think I really expired the phrase take it to the bank last season, picking Kevin LeBanc in almost every single one of my DFS segment lineups. So I'm not going to try and say that too much this year, but I do think Kevin LeBanc, you can pull up the Brinks truck with that one to the bank. He is a player that's going to cash in season long in DFS.
And he did that team a big favor signing for what, 1 year, $1 million? Mm-hmm. This guy, if he scores 60 points, going to make a lot more money than that over a lot longer term in the years to come. You kind of hope that he does that just because he took one for the team here to try to get the Sharks the cup.
Now, when you're drafting defensemen, you definitely need a number four D-man with some upside. Are you looking at a guy like Josh Morrissey in Winnipeg that can get elevated now that Trouba's out? Or maybe you're looking at an Alexander Edler who is fantasy relevant year in and year out, but he just can't stay in the lineup.
Yeah, he can't stay healthy. There's Quinn Hughes in the mix now, too. I think that if Edler gets really overlooked, he provides some value, blocks shots, he hits as well. But yeah, I really like Josh Morrissey. The second Trouba got traded, Myers signed in Vancouver, we moved him up, 35, 40 spots in our overall rankings. He is a guy that was very productive when he was on the first power play last year when Big Buff was injured. Byfuglien's probably going to get injured again. I mean, you hate to say it, but he's in the later stages of his career, and with the physical game he plays, it's just the way it is.
Great point out there. The Tyler Myers also left and joined the Vancouver Canucks. That Winnipeg team, I think, top to bottom, even without Kevin Hayes now, too, on the second line, I think that team just looks completely different next year. Where, in fact, I know it might hurt them overall in their standings perspective, but you might find more fantasy value with those deeper guys now.
Fellas, three names I'll throw your way. Haven't heard you guys mention any of these guys. Svechnikov.
Mm-hmm.
Can you consider Lundqvist a sleeper this year in the goalie category? I don't know where you fall on that. And then Cody Ceci with Toronto. Where do you feel? Those are three names I haven't heard.
That third name is a bit of an outlier. But yeah, we have Lundqvist in a bounce back. We categorize him as a bounce back player. We like his value outside the top 100. Svechnikov's on a breakout list. He's on our breakout list, but he could kind of qualify as a sleeper. I don't think people think that the Hurricanes are going to make the playoffs again, which they're well capable of doing.
I am just flabbergasted that we just mentioned Cody Ceci on a fantasy hockey podcast. I think that's awesome from our producer. I mean, good work there. But
hey, time out. Let me just say this. 25 years old, 20-point mark in three of the last five seasons. He's headed to Toronto, surrounded by some good players. I'm just saying he could be a guy that could help you out. I'm not saying you draft him, but you keep an eye on him throughout the season.
I would just caution the listeners there, stay far away from Cody Ceci. One of the most blatant things you can look at, just look at their depth chart on paper. Jake Muzzin comes to mind. Tyson Barrie, have you heard of that guy? Morgan Riley, who had 70-plus points. I don't know if you know, but he wears number 44 out there. He's pretty good, too.
Hey, he's a sleeper, 6'2", on the blue line, of course. Block shots, 313, 283 hits, 275 shots on goal since 2017.
I don't care if this guy's 6'8", 235 pounds, man.
Hey, he's a sleeper. This is Bob Bender's sleeper to keep an eye on, okay? And I think we've spoken a little bit too much about CC already, but again, keep him on your radar. Don't sleep on Cody.
I'm going to toss out two more players here. If there's any appeal, let me know. Robert Thomas for the St. Louis Blues and Vince Dunn for the St. Louis Blues. How do you feel about those guys?
I like Dunn a little bit more. I like how he gets involved on the power play. They got a new power play coach this year after winning the Stanley Cup, which is kind of rare, but maybe he gets, cuts into Pietrangelo's time a little bit there. Robert Thomas got to play in the top six to be fantasy relevant. He was playing on the third line, played very well for stretches in their deep playoff run. But yeah, I like Vince Dunn as a deep sleeper defenseman, right there with Philip Peronic, probably right behind him, right in the same range as Samuel Girard.
And let's stay on the Detroit train real quick, too. You mentioned Roenick. I also like this year Anthony Mantha. I don't know if you can classify him as a sleeper anymore because he's kind of had that title for the last 3 years now, but I think he's got 30-plus goal upside, maybe even 35-plus goal upside. And then potentially on that same line, we're looking at Bertuzzi. Tyler Bertuzzi is a kid that plays with a lot of edge, but now he's getting points too. Do you like those two guys to draft late in rounds?
Now, he's Todd Bertuzzi's nephew, correct?
So yeah.
He's got it running in the family. I think that Tyler Bertuzzi, if he's on that top line, he is one of the sneakiest power forwards in the game. This guy's put up a good plus-minus rating, which seems like it would be impossible to do in recent years for the Detroit Red Wings. So if he's up there like he was down the stretch last year, what, he had four straight three-point games over the final seven games of the season? Enormous upside for him. That's a guy that'll probably go undrafted in the standard, 16 players per team league, but I think could make a big impact as a power forward.
And Mantha actually led the league in points over the last seven games. I think he had 16 or 17, so that's just ridiculous production. And hey, if you play alongside Dylan Larkin, who we projected for 80 points this season, you're probably looking at least 45 there.
So we actually have our forward point projections live in living color on NHL.com right now, so go check them out. Hit us up with your questions, why you think have a guy for a certain range and points. Chances are we could explain it for you. Pretty comprehensive effort by myself, Rob Reese, and Dave Satriano, Davey Boy.
And remember the name before we leave, Cody Ceci. I'll be laughing all season long when this guy makes a difference on my fantasy team.
I wouldn't count on it, but maybe, yeah. The fourth fantasy-relevant defenseman on the Toronto Maple Leafs could score, I guess, 25 points.
I'm not even wasting more time on this one, so please check out our other podcast episodes. We have a lot of 2019-20 season preview episodes already out. We have coaching changes with Uncle Dan Rosen. We have bounce back candidates with Mike Kelly up in Canada. And then we have some other ones too. Mock draft. If you want to know where some of these guys are going, check out our mock draft episode. And if you want to go all the way back in the archives, check out our free agency frenzy episode too, where we break down how well and we project these guys' point totals for next year.
And subscribe to the podcast for free. Thanks again to Chris Wassel for joining us. And for Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.